Brings us to item 10, which is public hearings. Subset A is a consideration for a special event license for the St. Patrick's Day open house. All the information was included in the packet. I didn't see anything wrong there. Pretty straightforward and similar business than we've done in the past. Does council have any discussion or questions on that special event license? How about anybody in the public? Questions, comments, concerns on a special event license for St. Patrick's Day open house at the liquor store?
Second.
First by Rhea. Who is the second over there? Jason was the second. All those in favor of the motion, please indicate by stating yes.
Yes.
Opposed to no. That carries unanimously. Brings us to subset B. This is another special events license and an open container for the Iron Horse during 4 days of the rally. Daniel, I'll turn it over to you for a staff report.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Similar is what was discussed 2 weeks ago. This is an item that was first brought forward when I was speaking with some of the owners of Iron Horse during last year's rally. This is a topic of discussion that has been brought forward to many councilors over the last several years. There has been two issues that have kind of occurred at this location. During the rally, the first is that during the rally, there is a heavy amount of pedestrian traffic that crosses the alley, and it's important to note that almost the entire block is owned by the Iron Horse establishment. And so there's a lot of pedestrians that are walking from the parking area into the concert venue, kind of back and forth. And during the times of the concerts, when you're there during the rally, you can see quite often that the very limited traffic that does go through the rally oftentimes causes significant conflict with the pedestrians that are there, including that it gets to the point that when it happens, the vehicular traffic does have to move quite slowly down the alleyway to make sure that they're not hitting or obstructing any of the pedestrians, and it truly becomes a safety issue. That has been something that I've spoken with the previous chief of police, as well as our current chief of police about, as well as our fire chief and also our ambulance service director. All three of our public safety departments, as well as other department heads, have noted this significant public safety concern and have made recommendations that during at least the period of the rally that be closed. And so that is something that the city staff has presented, that for public safety, it does make sense for that alleyway to be closed at least during the concerts themselves or in the afternoons going into the evenings. When you look at the majority of the traffic that goes on that, traffic can travel another 150 feet further to the north to be able to use Dudley. If they want to travel to the east, if they want to travel to the west, then they could travel another 150 feet to make a right-handed turn onto Lazelle, which in the evening, the traffic really is not that significantly impacted going westbound on Lazelle, especially when you consider the speeds that you would have to travel on the alley because of the pedestrian activity that occurs there. And so that is one item that we have brought forward several different times. In addition to that, as there's often been noise concerns or sound concerns that have been brought up by the residences that lie directly east of the Iron Horse, the thought about if the stage was actually reoriented so that the stage would project to the west, that in doing so, the sound actually would be going more to the downtown area and less to a significant residential area that is to the east. Looking at that, and again, as I was walking through their property last year during the rally, I made a comment to the owners to see if that would be something that they would be willing to look at. Again, that was simply made as a suggestion to see if that could reduce some of the sound impact on residential areas within the community. Doing so, we decided that we would meet again in the fall to discuss it. And so we did meet in the fall with several council members, four council members, as well as some of the owners there. At that time, it was asked if the owners would complete a noise or a sound study to see if there would be a reduction in the sound impact in residential areas. And so the owners did complete that sound study. Again, I think it's important to note that that was done at the city's request, but it was not paid for by the city. It was paid for by the establishment. They completed the sound study, and they submitted that to the city. We included it in your last council meeting packet, and it's also included in here. And we'll have the owners kind of go over that, I think, as well. But essentially looking at that, it does show that there overall is a reduction in the amount of sound that would be broadcast to the residential areas. The owners then suggested, which would lead to a higher cost, having two different stages during this year's rally, one stage that would be oriented to the west and one stage that would be oriented to the east, so that during 4 days in the rally, they would be able to be on a new temporary stage that would be oriented to the west, and they would have concerts on that for 4 days. The other 5 days, they would use their existing stage. That way, we would be able to truly see as a community, is there a reduction or not? And if there's not, then they would be able to continue using their existing stage, and we would say that we've tried to see if it makes a difference, and it didn't, and so we would not proceed. However, if during those 4 days trial period, if it did result in a net reduction to the community, then there could be a discussion about should that occur in the future, if there should be a permanent reorientation of the stage. I just want to make sure that everyone understands, again, that that is not the owners of the Iron Horse that did not come forward with this proposal. Truly, it was something that the staff brought forward as a way, knowing that not everyone's going to be happy, but hopefully a way that we could reduce some of the impacts for a large area of our community. And in addition to that, the owners, I think, were willing to put up even more money to put together a temporary stage to try it on a trial basis for a portion of the rally. And I think that's important to note that as well. But with that, I would be happy to answer any questions that the council might have, or perhaps turn it over to the Iron Horse.
Before we go any farther, I'd really like to have our chief of police come up and talk a bit about the safety issues involved here, because it seems to me that some of this was generated actually from city staff, including the chief of police. So I'd like to hear what he has to say about this.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Over the last couple of years since I've been chief, I've watched, my staff has watched a lot of the activities in the alleyways there. And at night, there's pedestrian traffic, there is vehicular traffic, and then there's also taxis and bus services that are going through there. We've actually staffed a few people of the police department there to help maintain an open access through there, and also to watch for safety, because we've had some pretty close calls with people there running supplies and stuff back and forth across the alley, or just going out using the facilities, just walking by, you name it. We've had a few close calls due to the foot traffic and the vehicle traffic as well.
I have a question, Chief. Mm-hmm. How does that compare to the other alleys in the downtown area, such as the alley between the Knuckle and the Oasis, or...
You know, we have a lot of foot traffic throughout the town during the rally, of course, and a lot of the main arteries for vehicular and foot traffic will be through the alleyways, whether it's the public works with their garbage trucks or delivery drivers. So we do have that throughout. I think this one's a little more congested due to the concerts, and there seems to be, for whatever reasons, our bus services have utilized that alley as a turnaround point for dropping off out there on Junction. So that's kind of that adds to that number as well.
We have similar situations in other places.
Yeah, I believe so.
To the degree of thousands of people. I mean, that's the difference that I would assume.
I wouldn't say it's that thick. Most of the stuff is free-flowing as well. There's a lot of congestion. There's more congestion down at Iron Horse due to the concerts with the coming and going to the concerts as well. But there's foot and vehicular traffic all over in the alleyways that's congested.
Do you think the alley behind Iron Horse, due to the location adjacent to a residential area, also contributes? Because that would be a difference between that location and, say, the Knuckle or anywhere else.
You're asking if the residential plays a part with all the traffic? I can't really answer that. A lot of the traffic going through, there's, like I said, buses. There's people that are driving through because they want to see the activities going on, I'm sure, at the establishment as well. And then trying to get parking spots, trying to find a place to park.
What would be the, if the alleyway was to be closed, would Dudley be able to become two-way for the days, just for the days that other alley is closed?
You would have to, I think Rick Bush would probably be able to answer that better with the size of the street, if we could do no parking and have that both ways. But, I'm not sure, honestly, just by looking at it. I mean, it's part right now, I think it's parking on the left side of the road for the one-way traffic. So you could get two-way traffic through there, but it'd be tight.
And also with no parking on Dudley again, I don't think it would go two-way with people parking
on
the
street. No, you wouldn't be able to have any parking whatsoever. And some of them people don't have any. I think some of them people have to park on the street because of their residence, so.
There be the ability to close that out, buses, or to put at least sign it?
You know, we could probably close it off to anybody we wanted to in reality. Enforcement part is the problem. You know, we've struggled with the enforcement just with our buses utilizing the streets to buses and taxis dropping people on and off just in front of the police department, for example. We've given them a spot to park, and they still want to park and block the roadway. So we have a continuous issue of trying to enforce them into their drop-off points and pickup points, and we still struggle.
Is there a bigger safety issue at a particular time of day? Let's say that if there was some flexibility on their part and they were like, we wouldn't really have to go and close this down until 4 in the afternoon or 5 or 6, so it's less inconvenient for the people that live around that area? Or is the safety issue apparent throughout the entire day? Could you address that a bit?
You know, I probably haven't spent enough time down there in the afternoons to see how big of an issue it is, but I would say probably your peak times would be probably 6 o'clock in the evening until maybe midnight. That's probably your busy time for them down there when people are coming and going for the concerts. But I've never sat and spent any time earlier in the day there just because there's other events going on.
I'm just bringing that up from a standpoint. I'm sure there's perhaps, I don't know, but there might be some complaints from some area residents about being able to get around and particularly to get home after work. And, of course, it's difficult throughout the rally for everybody when you want to come right down to it. But if they didn't happen to go and close that alley down until people basically could already get home from work, let's say if they're getting off work at 5 or 5:30 and they don't close it down until 6, that might be advantageous for some of the people that live in that area. I'm just throwing that out there. Well, that's their own choice, though. I'm talking about people that don't want a hassle that they could get.
I guess it's my turn. First question I'd like to ask is, which agenda item number are we working on?
I was just going to say we got to get dialed in onto special events and on open container. This is not the discussion of the vacant.
We're having a discussion right now about closing the alley, and nothing about the SEL age and anything else. So have we combined the two?
Nope.
Well,
no.
This was just kind of a tangent off of the public safety concern after, right, you know, of what happens in the alleyway after the concerts and events down there.
Chief, who causes the public safety problem? What is the cause of the issue?
It's the fact of the cars, the vehicular.
If we have identified a public safety issue, what is it, and what is the cause of that issue?
That's what I'm trying to explain. It's all the vehicles and all the pedestrians that are coming and going from in and around that area.
They're there for what? The concert?
I would assume so. They're there for the concerts.
The event itself is the cause of the public safety. So what I'm saying is, do we have open gates? Is there access points to the alley? Why is there so much pedestrian traffic going back and forth in the alley from the parking lot to the containment area?
There's foot traffic that's just standing there. They're also just coming walking through the area as well.
How did the patrons get in from the parking lot into the concert area?
Through the gates. There's gates there. They cross the alleyway, and from the parking lot, they cross the alleyway, excuse me, their entrance.
Sounds like that should be a point of closure as well. What I'm saying is that's probably the cause of the majority of your foot traffic in and out.
There's quite a few people, for whatever reasons, don't go into the facilities and stand outside.
When I had that problem on Main Street, we visqueened the entire property. What I'm saying is the owners have to take some responsibility for the public safety problem. I put up 8 foot of plastic for 350 feet so that I would not have that problem, and it worked. And it worked for 18 years. And we were the hottest thing in town. Actually, we were the hottest thing in the rally for the first 13 years of that. But what I'm saying is there are other solutions besides closing the street. Now, I liked Mr. Waterland's remarks about limiting traffic at a certain time. But I guess it's the time for me to read some of the comments that I've received from people in the last 2 days. Hey, Mike, I have concerns with the proposed Iron Horse Alley closure and oppose the closure, period. This is a route myself along with 10 to 12 of my Tom T's employees utilize during the motorcycle rally to access our Main Street store and locations from our print facility. Our route from the print shop is to go by the city park to the alley off of Sly Street and proceed west until we get to Dakota Mart and then run into 2nd Street. We would utilize Dudley, however, it's a one-way street. We do use Dudley to return to the print shop, as it is the quickest route. Let me know if you have any questions. Then there's the Rick Schmidt story.
I'm sorry, may I interrupt? So it's okay that we can talk about the alley closure?
No, I'd like to focus on the special events.
To reiterate what exactly we're...
Yeah, but I would like to...
The point I'm trying to make there with that is to combat some of the comments that were made earlier that everybody's home by 5 o'clock. These people are hauling merchandise for years. So let's go back to the consideration of the special event license for open container for the Iron Horse Saloon at 888 Junction for outdoor concerts during a four-day rally, or for 4 days during the rally, 2 to 10, I'm sorry. So I guess I'm not really understanding why we would have an SEL and not a vacant alley, and not vacate the alley. What I'm saying is I see absolutely no benefit to the general population of the city of Sturgis and the rally participants that we have a SEL on adjoining property without closing the alley. Can you imagine the public safety incidents you're going to have if the citizens of this town do not want the alley closed? So there's some real concerns here. You can't pass this and deny the other, and you can't have the other because the people are going to tell you We don't want it.
Greg looks like you're
yeah. Yes. As far as the recommendation of a utilizing an SEL during the 2019 rally, when the concept was discussed, I had made a recommendation to the city manager that because alcoholic beverages need to be sold on licensed premises, that one of the ways to do that for this year without vacating the public right-of-way would be simply to coordinate it in a manner that the public right-of-way in question is closed for just the whatever it is, 4 or 5 days, and at that same time, that same piece of property would be considered subject to a special event license if the goal was to have a contiguous licensed premises. So that's where it came from, was to be able to see what the venue might be like without the permanently vacating the alley. Thank you.
I think the real question now needs to be, if we should grant an SEL, then we're looking at moving or building a new band stage, the cost of that, bleachers, bars, what's electricity going to cost? $30,000? Lighting is minimal. So we're going to expect these folks to put in the superstructure for a test. It doesn't fit my book, but we go back to the sound of the music going to the west. Part of the package, but I'm not sure how many people read it. But the maps really don't do me any good because it's louder at San Monahan's with the band stage oriented to the east. It's louder at San Monahan's building and the soccer field than it is in the alley behind Iron Horse. Significantly louder. And even in the study, sounds to the west of the stage, in other words, on the new property with the band stage facing Junction Avenue, then you've got the sound is 2 times louder than the current stage. With the property to the north of the stage, that's going up Dudley, going up Sly Hill, and those residents up there, it's 12 times louder, and that sound isn't going to stop there at Woodland Drive. It's going to go right down into the upper division on 7th and 9th Streets. On the north to the stage, to the north is 6 times louder. To the east of the stage is 2 times quieter. And let's see, that's for one receiver, and for another receiver, it's 2.5 times quieter. The southern impact to the stage is 2 times quieter. So directly to the south, so the alley is going to be pretty quiet. And it's going to be pretty quiet over there at First National Bank in those areas. But I think, you know, it just keeps going and going and going. But the conclusion is what just absolutely sticks out for me. The conclusion of this is, in general, the simulated noise levels of north, south, and west of the venue significantly increase. The simulated noise levels to the east of the venue decrease. The increases of the simulated sounds in scenario 2, which is the new band stage, due to the change of the orientation of the venue, is significantly louder sound system. So everything I've kind of heard up to this date from the staff is that this would be less noise to the residents when their study shows it's actually going to increase in some cases up to 12 times. So the study is a great tool for me. So I thank you guys for spending that kind of money. But if you really get into stats, I guess that's kind of one of my degrees. This can't be disputed. There's going to be no sound savings to any of the residents involved in this, and it's gonna you're gonna have sound clear out to Owens Interstate, or maybe even farther. And if you think you got residential problems now, just think about how many more residents are to the west than there are to the east of Iron Horse. You got about 10 more minutes worth of stuff if you're able. Now, Rick Schmidt has a little trouble there in a major blizzard out there at the ranch by Vail, and he planned to be here tonight to speak, but he said, if this is good for Iron Horse, this is good for Sidehack, because I own both sides of the alley, and I'd like my alley closed so I can put my band stage to the north where I originally had polled the city to do, I think he said 11 years ago, and we wouldn't do it. So what I'm saying is, we're setting a precedence. So now the Knuckle wants theirs closed. Loud American wants theirs closed. If they end up with the property to the north. What I'm saying is, there's a big precedence here, folks. And you can kind of tell I've done a lot of research on this.
Mr. Mayor, I'd just like to point out that actually if you do look at the sound study and if you look at the mapping as well, there is a reduction to the neighbors' residential areas that are directly to the east, which was the original goal to begin with. And that's what the sound...
Two and a half times.
That is what the sound study shows. In addition, it does show that there is an increase in the amount of volume that goes to the west as well as to one block to the north and one block to the south. And that is why we've included in the study, and that's why it's been available for 3 weeks now to review. However, I just want to point out that that is exactly what has been said this entire time, is that it's a reduction in the amount of noise to the east, and instead to the business district, which is where the majority of the rally is occurring, to the west, there is an increase in the sound volume. However, that continues to dissipate after a couple of blocks.
I'd like to bring one other point up about the sound study. You're not really comparing apples to apples. The current stage has two line arrays consisting of 10 electro-voice speakers, four front-fill speakers, which are electro-voice, 14 electro-voice speakers stacked too high, and the proposed stage has two line arrays of 16 electro-voice as opposed to 10. So there's six extra speakers there. And then the electro-voice sub, that's the bass stuff. There's 24 speakers in the proposed stage, whereas there's only 14. So there's 10 more bass speakers. So you're not really comparing apples to apples. I understand this stuff because in a past life, I was a musician in a band. So
I also understand bass and how it affects those most close and in the direct line of sight. Jim Bush's window rattled in his office for 18 years because of my bass.
I think that we should ask the...
Yeah, invite the gentleman up from Iron Horse.
Gentleman up from Iron Horse to talk about the sound study.
Yeah. Chief, staying close.
Good evening, Council.
We got those for the overhead.
I'd just like to kind of clarify a couple of things on that map that I think are kind of being glossed past a bit. Why don't we just start with number one? I'll just kind of breeze through real quick because there are some differences that I just want to point out.
Scott, can you guys state your name, too, please? Will you guys state your name for the record, please?
Scott Upton and Carrie Fernholz.
Thanks.
Thank you, by the way, Mayor and Council members. So just to kind of explain, I mean, so there's four actual charts in this map. So, and chart number one shows kind of the existing sound levels of what's been going on there. Okay, and obviously we can see the red area is the highest volume, and it gets lower to the west. Currently, is the lightest effect with the dark green. If you go to map two. Now this shows with the stage orientation going to the west. Obviously, it kind of flip flops the impact zone. So now to the east is much lighter, obviously, and yellow going to green, and to the west, of course, now is where the impact is going towards. If you notice, though, so where the where the red is ending there, is at junction, is basically at junction. So the severity of the impact is kept mostly to our area. We realize there isn't a perfect scenario. No matter which way it's going, it's going to impact somebody. I think the intent that Daniel and the city had brought was to try to lessen the impact on all the homes to the east of us, which, this does. Just to make a point on the sound array that Councilmember Waterland brought up. So I do realize that the systems are a bit different, obviously, because it's a bigger area and it's a bigger coverage, and obviously you probably understand that from your band era. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the impact zone is any bigger. It's just that the coverage of that area is bigger, and to fill that area, you need a different setup of array and a different array. So the intent wasn't to create more noise. The intent was to fill the noise more robustly so that we don't have to just turn up the volume to cover that area. So that's some of the difference in the equipment. It's not just to create more noise. And then if we could just move on quick to the next one. So these studies, that number one was the current levels that we've kind of been running at the last couple of years. That second drawing was at the sound level that was proposed from this study that it would take to kind of cover that area in full. So now number three, I just had them do a couple of more renderings just showing what the effect of decreasing the sound level just by 5 decibels. So this would be the same orientation as what we currently are set up now at a max decibel level of 5 decibels lower than what we've been operating. And I guess we can't really show them side by side, so it's tough to see. But if you could show one and three side by side. So if you can see just by a 5 decibel decrease in what the output is, how it can drastically reduce the distance of the impact. And just for reference, if you look on both of them drawings to the, I don't know if you can point at it, Daniel, where the blue house, like our blue house on the corner there is of middle, and that's number 18. Down to your other direction, right there. So you see right there how it's turning yellow already at that point. And that's just from a five decibel decrease. And if you go up to the top map now and point at the same location where it's dark red all the way up to that. So just that small incremental decrease, which by having sound engineers work with us to tighten up our sound and our throw and how our direction is and all that, can have a pretty big impact. And then if you could just kind of go to number four, and the same thing there, even in that new setup, it can dramatically reduce the degree of the impact to the west. And so part of our
yeah,
right.
Yes.
That's what we were hoping to get to, and either way, I mean, anything we can do to lessen the, I mean, there is going to be a point where it just doesn't work, and a lot of it depends on the volume of people, bodies absorb sound, everything else around it. So some of that's all dependent, but.
And let's remember the dBA of a common Harley is a 95, so I mean, 100 is not too much higher than what your normal Harley is driving down the street.
So anyways, I mean, there was two parts of the study, that the reason why we wanted to do it, not just for the sake of, of this other scenario, but was to, you know, to see if there was something that could be done to alleviate the, you know, some of those sound issues. I mean, we're not trying to create issues. I mean, it's just, it's kind of a nature of the beast a little bit. So
I have a question. Mm-hmm. Obviously connected to the sound, but separate. In the special event license application, it states 4 days throughout 2 through 10 of August for the rally. Can we be any more specific to that? Is there more? Have you guys got some people booked? Or
we don't at this time. I mean, the whole thing was kind of dependent on this process. We can't really book anything until we know what we're doing, and it doesn't make sense for us to book some of this stuff in our current configuration or vice versa. So everything is kind of hinging on this, and to be honest, we're getting kind of behind the eight ball already.
For sure. And on time.
Yeah.
Well, it's all depending on routing. And so any offer we make has to be dependent on which days are available. And right now, we have some holds, but those holds are going to go bye-bye pretty quick. And then we'll have to start all over, which will be another 6 to 8 weeks.
Would it be possible to have the 4 days consecutive?
In an ideal world, yes. But, again, you're dealing with tours bookings and routes and bookings, and it's not perfect. I mean, ideally for us, too, we'd like to have it in consecutive days because it'd be a much easier.
And one more thing to clarify. Manage. I mean, our intent isn't on those 3 or 4 days that we end up, if we get granted, to have our music all day long blaring that way. I mean, it's only the last two bands of the night. So, I mean, it's a 7, 8 o'clock start until midnight on 3 nights, 4 nights on a temporary basis. You know, it's not all 10 days.
So specific to the SEL request, and at least specific to the agenda item, it says basically 4 days of rally between August 10th, 2nd, and 10th. So is the SEL only for 4 days, or is it going to be for the full 2nd to the 10th?
It would be 4 days, yes.
But we don't know what 4 days that will be.
We don't know those days, correct.
I mean, temporarily right now, 7, 9, and 10. That's right now is the days we're looking at. 3 days, and there's a one at the first weekend, but I doubt that's going to happen. So right now, closer than not, 7, 9, and 10. If we had another month, I'd be able to tell you another day, but as we get closer, it dwindles away.
Do you guys have anything else at this point you want to comment on or
I guess
present?
Maybe more of a question. So I guess the prior meeting, which I wasn't at, Scott was at, and I thought this was all kind of wrapped into one thing, so I'm curious how it kind of got separated now, and we're talking about the alley versus the, I mean, they kind of all go hand in hand, and that's the way it was all presented from day one. So now if we're talking waiting that much longer to figure out part two of this thing.
Because Mike's
sets
correct.
Sets everything else back. Yeah. So,
because Mike's aptly correct. I mean, it'd be
one or the other doesn't work.
Yeah,
I mean,
right. It's a logistical nightmare. It'd be a law enforcement
from
nightmare.
All that, from safety, from everything, yeah. It'd be a nightmare trying to do one without the other. I mean, it wouldn't make any sense, and nor would we want to. I don't think we'd want to jeopardize anybody that way. So,
how are you going to utilize your north parking lot if you're going to have a stage set up and bars set up and everything so you can operate 4 days? And when you're operating, where does the 300-plus bikes that you currently park there, where do they go?
Where do they go on every bar in town? I mean, we weren't required to have a certain amount of parking. We did that parking on our own accord. I was wondering, too, Mike, I have a question, or I was just curious, you know, we've heard a lot about the traffic and people being able to get back and forth in the one way with Dudley. There was some discussion back when we met at our property last fall, and you were the one that had brought up about, you know, getting that roadway on the, I forget the what it's
Drive.
Called, Woodland Drive, and making that accessible. And is that still an option? I mean, that would alleviate most of that traffic. And I think at that time you said if the city would allow that you would be in favor of this.
I think it would be a fantastic idea for a football game. But then it was brought to light by a police officer that all we're doing is making a racetrack from the soccer field to McDonald's. As soon as the bikes figure out that they can get off and avoid LaZelle Street traffic, they'll be getting off at the soccer fields and going all the way through, just like the residents do now, because it is the path of least resistance.
The same as our LEAs right now. Yeah. So, I mean, just to answer your question you had earlier for the chief, a lot of that traffic that goes down that alleyway is a lot of foot traffic that walks down to go to the city park or walks down from where they're parking in the residential areas and walks down our alley to get to downtown or walks from our parking lot to downtown. So, I mean, there's a lot of foot traffic there. It's not just ganglers that stray out of our building. It's a lot of foot traffic that goes down there instead of using the sidewalks.
I would also venture a lot of the vehicle traffic is gawkers just coming through to see what's going on. I mean, honestly, I can't imagine there's too many residents that are trying to go through there during the heavy volume times because it'd be way quicker just to go to Lazelle and go down the street. So,
and then to answer your parking question too, Mike, our front two parking lots will be available now because we won't have reserve parking there. We've also, the last 3 years, 4 years, rented the Massaberry parking lot that we'll turn over to bike parking. We've also talked to a couple other places in town here that would be willing to rent their parking lots to us for that parking. We also have the campground outside of town that we'd be able to shuttle people in from outside of town to alleviate those 330 spots that you're talking about.
Well, it sounds good, but I'd kind of like to see this pass just so I could see the actual cluster that you're going to have.
I would like to see that too.
Actually, all of the comments that I've gotten a number of comments from the public, and all the comments that I had weren't relative to the sound or to the special event license. They were relative to the alley and needing that alley for transportation.
I've talked to 50 people last 2 weeks. Not one person ever visited with me about this positive result.
Like I said, it's a temporary thing, and if you don't try it, how do you know? It's not like you're granting it for 10 years. It's 3 days in the rally.
Dan, but I know how this goes. Mm-hmm. Once we try something here, we let it go for 100. Well, actually, we tried a race 79 years ago, and we're still playing with it.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't been able to make it work yet. Race.
Well, you know, one of the big concerns that I hear is the precedents that will be set. But I think, you know, you need to think the reverse of that also. In the event that any other business wants to try the same thing, we're shutting that down from here on out. That, you know, so there's a reverse thought to that as well.
You guys good presenting what you guys wanted to present at this point?
I have a question for you. Do you have kind of an estimate of attendance of people from this last rally that came through your establishment?
I couldn't give you an exact number. We don't do cover charges or anything like that. It's all free, so it'd be tough to say with all the comings and goings an accurate number.
Okay. I was told by city staff, that the concert that caused the most significant public safety issue, there's approximately 10,000 people in the area.
There's no way we can fit 10,000. Just do the math. You were talking about stats a little bit ago.
I understand the math. I kind of figured if you broached 2,000, you
Hey, we wish it was that, but there's no way. So, yeah.
And those are half the people in the parking lot.
Yeah.
I'd like to make a comment. You just said that, you know, your concerts are free, and that's a very good thing, because if they weren't free, that alley would be plumb full of people watching.
Oh, yes, sure.
Well, and I, too, have a comment in that, this last year there were guests, friends of mine, that came to the rally for the first time. And they came up from Austin, Texas. And your establishment is exactly the kind of establishment that they enjoy attending. It's the level of entertainment that they've come to expect coming from a place such as where they live. And so, when they wanted to go and walk around downtown, they would always end up at your place. And, you know, they fit the demographic of people that, you know, you want to encourage to keep attending.
I would say the whole intent was to keep more people in town and not the migration out to just the campgrounds at night. And, you know, obviously it's for our benefit, but it benefits others in the city as well.
Have you guys worked on anything for business plan for possibly doing something more year-round?
Right now we are. I mean, right now we have once-a-month concerts all the way through. We've broached the idea of turning into an event center. It's been in the talks. I mean, this last Friday we had a concert. March we have a concert. April we have a concert. You know, we have two in May all the way through until October.
So if I could just kind of remind the council, so when we first started in Sturgis back in 2011, our intent was to be open year-round, and we were for the first three, I think, plus years.
Two and a half, three.
It just came down to a point where it just wasn't feasible, to be honest. And I don't want to, you know, play any blame or anything like that. It just, there just wasn't enough support to stay open year-round where it was financially sensible. And I would add also, I think, you know, in the off-season, it's, you know, there's only so many people to go around. There's only so many slices of the pie. I'm assuming there's some other places in town that were probably okay with us not being open year-round. But to add to that, we do realize that, you know, I think we have a very a beautiful facility there. It could be used for other things, and we'd love to entertain that and do that. Hence what we're trying to do with, you know, opening it up to some of these, you know, concerts and different events. And if there was a way to do more event center booking type things where it's used for public functions, fundraisers, weddings, whatever, business meetings, I mean, we're definitely open to that. We're not, you know, we do have other business in the area. We're not just coming in for the rally and leaving. We have a restaurant in Rapid City. We're down here a lot. We live here half the time. I mean, so it's not like we're just trying to come in and leave town. You know?
Right, I'm getting that. But, yes, I was trying to see if it was more – I mean, I get the winter months. I mean, you guys, yeah. No reason to stick around. I mean, I don't want to. But, yes, if there's something more into your spring, fall, I mean, so – because that's the big pushback on some of the community members and stuff is sure. That, well, they're not open year-round. I'm not going to support a business year-round. And I get that. And it, for you guys, it'd be easier for people to accept it. And the fact if you guys were open a little bit longer throughout the year or something to provide something for the community too.
And until we were slated to open Memorial Weekend and stay open until probably Labor Day, tentatively. It just all depends on support. We got bills to pay too. Yep. And that's what we thought. We were understanding that was together, you know, and it got separated last minute.
We just learned that as well when we sat down tonight. So,
Mr. Barnier, is there a chance that this can be tabled or postponed until the meeting when we discuss the alley?
Well, you have... You mean postpone the SEL until you discuss the alley? Well,
there could be a motion to table that.
Yeah, you can move to table it if you want to, I guess. Well,
I understand that we approved the agenda, but other things have since come to light that maybe we need to address to do our due diligence. Yeah.
So the answer to the question would be, could the item be tabled? And the answer is yes. Well, my understanding is the alley closure was moved off the consent calendar, and it was placed on the agenda for after this item. Is that correct?
Correct, but the action item is only setting the public hearing.
Well, then if the action item on the alley is setting the public hearing, then that's a very narrow scope. It's mm-hmm. just the date of the hearing. It's not the activities, or it's not the actual decision on the question itself. Those comments might be items then that you would do in the other comments session at the end of this meeting, since it's not an action item.
Because, I mean, we can't do one without the other.
Right.
I mean, they're married together.
Right. Well, I want to, does council have any more questions for Iron Horse at this point, or for Chief, since he's been so kind and waited patiently? If we don't, I'd like to open it up to public comments up at the microphones. I understand how both items, or there's multiple items here that are intertwined, but if we could specifically try to talk about the SELs and the open container on the northern part of the property at this point. I understand there might be some cross discussion, but as far as just the discussion items themselves, the only item on the agenda up for action is the SEL and the open container. So with that being said, if you gentlemen would, you may be asked to come back up, so I appreciate it. But I'll open it up to the public if anybody wants to come up and make public comments on this discussion at this point.
Welcome back.
Yes.
Kim Leszczewska. I live at 815 10th Street. I don't particularly oppose the SEL. Can't help but mention the alley closure. I'm sorry. I am probably a very small subset of those people who live on the north side of Lazelle and work around. Close the alley, you are taking away literally my only way home without a lot of frustration. It's not going up to Lazelle and turning right takes twice as long as going up the alley. I know, I've done it. I've done it both ways just to see which was faster. And so if you're going to take away my alley, please give me another. And something is, I was sitting here thinking about, I was wondering, what if, could there be built a pedestrian cross over the alley so that they can go from one side to the other without having to walk on the ground and fence out both sides so that vehicle traffic going that way and not pedestrian, that would take a little kind of jerk. But as far as flipping the noise, you're not going to make everybody happy. John is right. It's going to skip probably all the way up to Owens Interstate, given that I can hear the music very clearly coming from the knuckle, and I live like a block and a half difference between them. There is no way in this issue that you're going to make it. As someone who lives here year-round, please don't make it harder for me to get home. Very long day at work, and all I want to do is get home and get in my gym. So even if the drive, it might be a racetrack, it might not. As long as there are speed limits back there, and so that it slows people down. Because quite honestly, when I come into town, turn off, go up the alley, and cut up through the RV park. So I try to stay out of that congestion as much as
possible. So Woodland would be a reasonable...
Woodland would be a perfectly acceptable solution to me. It's just don't take away the only westbound right now without having something else in place, concretely in place. Then developing that road is, I'm afraid, going to... people in town. There are other roads that need get over the hill where the road's falling in. So which comes first? That arrow, you know, that avenue or that one? But if you're not affected by it, then you're lucky. But think very long and hard. Rally's a frustrating time. Not that I don't love it. Frustrating time when you. And I am not one of those people who gets off at 5 o'clock. A lot of times, it's 9:10 before I get to come home, right in the heart of it. That's when their concerts are going on, so that's where all the congestion is right there at that corner.
Thanks, Kim. Other public input on public report subset B.
My name's Palmer Dahl. Thank you for hearing me. Not in favor of this. As far as the, not in favor of the concert moving to the other side and it being changed the other way. I don't know if that has to do with the SEL. It does, okay. My feelings, we live in a basically an amphitheater here in Sturgis, so everything comes off the hill. So anything you put on the hill is going to come back towards Sturgis. We impact the least amount going the way it is now to the east of the town. If you go towards the west, it impacts the most part of the town, whether it be Murray Addition, whether it be Pine Street, whether it be Fulton, whatever, all of those. Going to the east, it impacts the town less. Or, I mean, to the west, it impacts the town more if it goes to the west than to the east. As far as residential and everything, in my opinion. And I have views on the alleyway and stuff, but I guess I don't state those at this time. But I'm not in favor of the sound changing the direction it is now. If they could lower it, that would be great. We've had a couple incidents over the year where language wasn't quite up to standard to what I feel is standard and a lot of the other people in town. And it's been 2 or 3 years, and quite frankly, if we can't take care of that, you're not going to get the support of the people of Sturgis. And if you want to be a part of this town, you as council members and people coming to be in our town, we have certain rules and regulations. We're a bedroom community. We go to sleep at night. I realize the rally, and we're not going to get around that. We've allowed you to use our town for... We say a week, 10 days, but it's actually a month or so, and I'm not in favor of letting them use it all month. You can see nobody gets out during the winter here because we've all got our windows closed and everything. In the summertime, we like to open up and let a little fresh air into our house, and if we have to stay up till midnight to listen to somebody else's music that we may not appreciate and it might not be to our standard, I'm not in favor of making it over the whole town. I feel sorry for the people to the east if we leave it that way, but if they can tone it down, it's going to have the least impact on our town. I don't know if I'm covering everything I should now, or if you want me to talk about anything else, I can talk about alleys and stuff too. But I'll leave it for that unless you're talking about alleys now. I've got a consensus of a lot of people in town that are not in favor of vacating the alley. They use it every day during the rally. That's the most important time they use it because that's their only avenue to get to the west part of town, to get to Linns County Market, to get to the pharmacy, to get to Pomitas, to get to the post office. And we're 6,000 slow old people. And we bring all this young blood in here and excitement and stuff, and that's all well and good. But they have to respect us, too. This is our town, and you have to make a decision. I've got a lot of comments from all wards, from people in your wards, that do not want this. And you need to talk to your constituents. They're not going to call you because they're just that way. They're busy. They have families. They have jobs, and they don't take the time to do this. I don't get on Facebook, so I have to do my research by word of mouth and talking to people. And I love this town, as I've told you before. And I want you to really look at that. You're supposed to be serving the people of Sturgis, not just outside people that come in here for 3 months out of the year. And I'm not saying that they're not going to stay. They tried to, I guess. And I appreciate that. And they would have more business because I used to go down there myself when I had company come when they first started because we wanted to help the new businesses in town and get them established because we're excited about our town. But we've ran all of our businesses out of town, so we need to work to get some businesses on Main Street also for our bedroom community. Thank you.
Whitmer. Can I just add that if you talk to constituents in my ward, would you please have them call me?
I've got a list of everybody that's – I have a petition here that I'm willing to give you guys.
It's kind of difficult to know who to address.
Okay.
So if people want to contact
say,
us, that's
all,
great.
They're from every ward. And I have a petition here. There's about 120 people that have signed this petition, and they're not in favor of any of it. When we get to that point, I guess I can bring that forward to you. And until then, you can visit with me, and maybe we can go over it. I don't know.
Very good. Thank you.
I would just like to bring up one thing that Palmer mentioned, and I believe I think I'm correct on this, Scott and Carrie, the band that was probably the most offensive to the people of Sturgis will no longer be here. Am I correct in that?
It was the second year, correct? Took us two times to figure that out.
Other public input on subset B.
I'm Milo Coldon, Cleveland Street. Palmer hit a lot of the things that I was going to visit about. I guess my point is that I'm not in favor of it either. To put it simple, I'll just reiterate what Palmer already addressed.
Anybody else?
Have lots of information and lots of comments on the alley closure that we should not address this evening. But, yes, I don't think it works.
Yeah, it does.
You're it's okay, just Mike. Me. I got to bring it out here where I can play with it. I said I have lots of comments, just like Palmer, from, I don't know, 50, 60, 70 people over the last week. The biggest concern that they have is the music up along the side hills where it just rolls and rolls. If, it'd be really nice if these charts we're looking at here gave us a warm and fuzzy effect, but they don't give me a warm and fuzzy effect because the sound just rolls. It wants to roll uphill. And when it hits the side hills on both sides, it just continues to go. So clear out to Owens Interstate and everything else is going to be noise, especially in the quiet of May, March, April, September. Those will be big concerns. But I think the biggest thing is, the biggest thing for me is the vacation of the alley. Or the portion of the alley. And I can't see where they can make an SEL work worth a hoot without the alley. But the people are really going to be... You think there's an issue tonight? Wait till the 18th.
I guess I wouldn't call it an issue so much as I would hope that people would come and express their opinion because that's what we need to hear.
I agree. I concur with Rhea. In that, I mean, it's all fine and good if you have talked to all these people and, you know, they tell you something. But for us, it's just, it's hearsay. It's secondhand information. And so I appreciate residents that will come up here, sit in front of us, give us their name, and tell us what they think. Because otherwise, you know, it's just what they've told someone that's told someone that's told someone. So the phone calls that I've received, I appreciate. Because I know who it is.
I agree, Becca, but a lot of people aren't made like we are. I'm telling you.
But if they want their opinion to matter, they need to make it known to all of us.
Somebody's going to make their opinion known right now.
Bernie, come on up and make your opinion known.
Bernie?
Good evening. Okay. Right now, I'm not feeling too positive about welcoming businesses into our community. I really don't want to, you know, scare off these guys. I do appreciate their music. I have friends that come in for Iron Horse, and they like the music. They like the whole atmosphere of it. What do I like about it? Sales tax. The sales tax that we get off of these businesses, we need that money. Now, let's look at the fact. Is it your campground now annexed into the city? Yeah. Do we talk about that tonight? And what they are bringing, even though they are not open all year round, we're still getting tax. The county, the city is getting tax money from them. We cannot, I don't want to use the word badger, but that's sitting back there and listening to this, I'm really, really concerned that they're not going to stay quiet about what they heard tonight, you know? They're business people. They want to accommodate us. Okay, turn the decibels down 5, maybe 10 decibels down. But no. Let's look at the whole picture. We are a community of over 6,700 people, if not more. And I guarantee there are probably more people that support this because their property taxes go down as well for the city. For them, for us. Let's keep that all in mind. And yes, is it 3 weeks out of the year? Most likely. But for 3 weeks out of the year, there is sales tax that comes into this community that we need. And I would strongly suggest that we all be more welcoming to these businesses and help them succeed, because when they succeed, we succeed. And right now, they are having mini concerts during the winter here. I know because my grandson keeps me informed. They like the music, and they bring in different types of food, and people are coming over there for the food during that. We do have the shoulder seasons. Maybe they can come in earlier in May and open up shop and stay open till, say, the third week of September or right after the Sturgis Mustang Rally. Those are things that we can visit with them about and encourage them to do. So like I said, there are many of us who do appreciate these businesses during the rally. And thank you. Yes, I'm Bernadette Usera. Dave.
Any other public comments or council comments at this point, even?
I'd just like to make a few comments about this. I will wait.
Okay.
I'm Dwayne Boy. I live on Hope Street. You know, you're only talking about 3 or 4 nights a week. But we already hear the music already rolls up the hills from several of the other concerts and bands that are in town during that time. So it does roll up those hills. You hear it. If they turn that stage so that we're hearing it, and you're going to have a lot of the people in the West upset. You know, we hear enough of it anyway. Thank you.
In reply to that, you know, if we can go back to our last meeting, we discussed mitigation for noise, right? And we took public comment. So that's something that is upcoming.
We had discussions of the title, what's nuisance and 13, yeah, title 13. So any other public comments? Or Ron, you want to grab the microphone again?
Yeah, I'd just like to make a comment about, you know, what this sound study speaks to me at. And I appreciate you guys doing this sound study. I don't think, you know, that I think it was a it was brought up at the first of this meeting that it was a staff idea to try seeing if a stage pointed west would alleviate the issues with the sound going east. And obviously, what really, in my opinion, alleviates all of the situation is going from 105 to 100 decibels. And if we can keep it at 100 decibels, you could keep your stage right where it's at, and it's probably not going to affect that apartment to the east as much as it has in the past. Whereas if we build another, or you build another stage at your cost on an empty lot and try to get an SEL over there and try to have that be the venue, that's going to, you guys are going to spend a bunch of money doing that, and then we may even impact more citizens this rally by doing this test. It's my opinion that if we leave the stage right where it's at and we ask you to reduce the decibels to 100 or maybe even 95, the same as a Harley-Davidson, then, you know, it's going to impact less people in the whole community and probably impact that those people to the east less. And you're not going to need an SEL for the other property. You're not going to need to spend a whole lot of money with a temporary stage. And we can continue to have concerts the way you have been, and people will enjoy your concerts. And that's one counselor's opinion.
You want to share your opinion, it looks like.
I really agree with him. I'd like to see things stay as they are, but knowing what I know, and, you know, I can't tell you all the individuals that have talked to me, but there have been many. Nobody has been positive, but it's not about the thing we're talking about right now. It's about the alley, which leaves me no choice but to vote my conscience on this.
I've had a number of comments from my constituents. I had a lot of calls, and none of them had to do with the sound at all. And none of them, I even brought up the sound study. I says, have you looked at the website and looked at the sound study? Nobody did. The main comments that I had were, we can't close that alley.
I guess for further discussion, Ron, were there specific reasons why? I mean, like Kim had mentioned, she says that's a route that she takes consistently every night home.
Going back,
but if there was another route that was very similar, it would still be satisfactory to her. Is that?
You know, I talked to Bryce Flint is one of them, and, you know, he had concerns because of his business and people coming to his business, but then also they live on Baldwin, I believe it is, or near Fulton Street, and they have to use that alley to come and go from work. I mean, they can go to work because, oh, I guess they can go, yeah, they can go to work through Dudley Street, but they can go from work on Dudley Street, but they have to get to work on that alley. They also said their customers use that alley. They also indicated, Chief, that they allow the police to use their parking lot all the time, and so they didn't have concern over other stuff. And then I talked to some people that are in here also about closing that alley. They just basically said closing the alley is not a good time, good deal. I talked to Rick Schmidt. He said closing the alley is not a good deal. So I talked to a number of people when I brought
up
the fact
that... Your point was is that with the SEL and the sound study was not a concern. It's simply the concern of vacation of the alley, whether it's
temporary
or permanent.
People that talked to me had no concern over the sound.
We'll leave it at that for now. Thanks, Ron.
Going back to Dudley Street one more time, I'm just going to throw this out here, and I don't know, and I might be totally out of order on this, but would it be possible to actually change that to a two-way street in the very near future and see if that works, or at least take a look at it to see if it would work? Maybe I'm way off. Maybe there's no way on earth it would work. I drove down there twice today, And interestingly enough, one time when I drove down there, somebody was coming from the opposite direction and shouldn't have been doing that. And did the two of us get by one another all right? Well, actually, we did. But I just thought I would bring that up. I don't know if that's a possibility or if that's just not a very good idea at all. I haven't really analyzed it that much. No.
I think at one time it was a two-way street, was it not?
And then, but there was no side street parking, and that's the difficulty.
That's the problem. Yeah. Once you get the side street parking, then there's not enough room for two.
And there are residents there that solely use the street for their only place to park.
Correct. Would that be something that Iron Horse might be able to provide reserve parking area for the residents there?
And, you know, Woodland Drive used to go all the way through. I mean, that was an open thoroughfare.
Chief's coming. Go ahead, Mike.
I'll wait.
Dave and I have been visiting. Half of that is two-way.
Right.
Half of it's one-way.
After middle.
But and he says, Dave and I argued, and I think Dave's probably right. I'll give him credit. But he said that each of them residents have a driveway. So they would have an access to park off street, and if you took away the parking on street parking, you'd have enough room for two-way street. Dave said it's the same as Metal Lark over in Deadwood, or I'm sorry, Dolan Creek Edition.
North side, yeah.
Yeah, on the north side there.
Dave, do you know the dimensions of that street off the top of your head? Said.
That answers Rhea's question. Yeah.
We did a whole subdivision at 40 feet, and it's a two-way street with on-street parking.
That is correct.
Before my time.
Yeah. get that clarity in.
SEL question. If this would pass, are the only way I can see public safety working here at all is when you guys put in a 6-foot fence along the alley. If you don't get the vacation, I like the idea of building a $50,000-$60,000 elevated rampway for you to get across. You know, I wouldn't think you guys would even entertain that, but it is an option.
Yeah.
But the question is, Bryce also called me. He said, so are all the bathrooms for that going to go out on Junction Avenue? In the garbage cans. Either way, the garbage cans have to go somewhere so that they can be picked up.
Scott again from Iron Horse. What we talked about is having the garbage cans at each end of the block, what we'd have to drag down there and back and forth with our forklift. It would be that. The bathrooms would be located. If you have the map of the property, you can see where the bathrooms are located on there, where it says restrooms. We have, last year on Middle Street, we had 38 porta-potties down by Middle Street, and we'd add another 38 porta-potties right where... You see the stage, right in the back of the stage where it says restrooms, there'd be another 32 or whatever that is. So you already have the porta potties on Junction, you already have the porta potties on Middle Street that are the cities. We also supplied those 38, plus we'd add another 32. Not having enough porta potties would do us no good. Period.
What about power?
Power, we'd probably have to rent a generator. It's a temporary, you know. If we got into it years past, well, then we could look at more permanent power, but we'd have to probably rent a generator, rent a stage. Those bars you see there would be on wheels, so we could wheel them off to the side on the days we don't have concerts.
You have us here that understand.
Yep. And then where you see, we wouldn't impact the apartment building at the end of the block. If you see where the gate is towards Middle Street, the gate would start after her property, so it wouldn't impact any of her guests. I mean, her apartment renters in that aspect. And then the other gate would be halfway through our building. So people would still be able to access those front three parking lots.
I guess, Scott, I have a question for you. Why would you even want to do two different stages? I mean, okay, so it works, and so we say, okay, now you're going to have you will never use the stage that existing stage that you have in the future. You can only use this one in that parking lot. So mm-hmm. You've got a whole lot of construction that you're going to have to do to.
Correct.
And it doesn't even tie in with your facility.
Correct. We turn that into more vendor area on that opposite side. Mm-hmm. We'd use that pre-existing stage for bike shows, presentations, other things during the rally.
Would it be possible that you would use the existing stage as it is now for other events? Or you had mentioned doing it other days during the rally this year.
Correct.
In future years, should something happen that is long-term, would you consider using that stage, or would you want to use that stage as it is right now?
It'd be a fallback. I mean, I think that it gives the opportunity. I mean, as you know, that stage is a big parking lot you're playing to. You know, off-season, if you wanted to have for example, on Memorial Weekend, we're having hairball. You know, I don't think you want to put hairball on a huge stage on a big parking lot. It just doesn't flow well. You know, you want to be able to condense. So that stage would still be viable for different things during the rally, off-rally, and different various things throughout the year.
Would you like to go on the record and say you're never going to have a Battle of the Bands?
We've tried that once, and no, I'll never have another Battle of the Bands.
Thank you.
Well, I guess I'm kind of at the point where I do not feel comfortable voting yes or no on an SEL, given the fact that so much of what we're going to vote on is reliant on what happens with the alley discussion. And it sounds like there's people that have opinions to bring forward with the alley discussion. So I'm willing to make a motion to table this until March 18th.
So we have a first by Rhea to table the consideration for a SEL and an open container for 888 Lizelle until the next meeting, March 18th. Second. We have a second by Dave. Any last discussion from council?
Let's go ahead and roll call this. Terry, how do you feel on the motion to table?
We have a yes. Mike?
No.
I'm yes. Dave?
Yes.
Steve?
Yes.
Becca?
Yes.
Rhea?
Yes.
Ron? Reluctantly, it sounded like in your voice. I know, that's right, part of the problem is we have a lot of people that keep coming.
Yes.
And Jason, yep.
So I might say that I'm trying to not give you a disservice in putting forth a vote tonight with all the information that we need. I hope that you understand it that way.
So the motion carried 8-1, Faye, to table.